This evening, we will continue our series on the book of Nehemiah. And we have come to Nehemiah chapter 3. And you may find today's passage on your pew in your pew Bible on page 505. For those of you who are new to this series, I will give you a brief preview of a brief review of what has happened in the previous chapters. So in chapter 1, Nehemiah heard the report that Jerusalem was in a bad situation. So he wept, he mourned, he prayed. And then in chapter 2, he came to the king's presence and acquired the king's permission for him to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And then he came to Jerusalem. He talked to the people. He stirred up the people to carry on this important work. And the people responded with enthusiasm. And they said, yes, we will do this work. So in today's passage, in chapter 3, we will see that finally these people, they arose, and they started to set their heart to this work that God has put into their hearts. So, but before I read this passage, I have to warn you before, because this is not the kind of passage that will easily catch your attention. So I ask you to pay extra effort to pay attention to the Word of God, for this is the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 3. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Emery, built. The sons of Hasena built the fish gate. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts and its bars. And next to them, Merimoth, the son of Uriah, son of Hakos, repelled. And next to them, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, son of Meshezabel, repelled. And next to them, Zadok, the son of Bana, repelled. And next to them, the Tekoites repelled. But their nobles would not stoop to serve their lord. And Jehoiada, the son of Pasea, and Meshulam, the son of Besodeiah, repelled the gate of Yeshanah. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And next to them repelled Melatiah, the Gibeonite, and Jadon, the Maronothite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, the seed of the governor of the province beyond the river. Next to them, Uzziah, the son of Harhiah, goldsmith, repelled. Next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, repelled, and they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Raphiah, the son of Hur, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired. Next to them, Jediah, the son of Harumaph, repelled opposite his house. And next to him, Hattush, the son of Hashabneah, repelled. Melchijah, the son of Harim, and Hashub, the son of Pehath Moab, repelled another section in the Tower of the Ovens. Next to him, Shalom, the son of Halohash, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired, he and his daughters. Hanun and the inhabitants of Zanoah repelled the valley gate. They rebuilt it and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars, and repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the dung gate. Melchijah, the son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Beth Hakaram, repelled the dung gate. He rebuilt it and set its doors, its bolts, and its bars. And we will skip the next paragraph and continue at verse 28 on the next page. Above the horse gate, the priests repelled, each one opposite his own house. After then, Zadok, the son of Immer, repelled opposite his own house. After him, Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, repaired. After him, Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zelaph, repelled another section. After him, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, repelled opposite his chamber. After him, Melchijah, one of the goldsmiths, repelled as far as the house of the temple servants and of the merchants, opposite the master gate and to the upper chamber of the corner, and between the upper chamber of the corner and the sheep gate, the goldsmith and the merchants repaired. So may God bless the reading and the preaching of his abiding word. So first of all, I must confess that I almost decided to skip this chapter and move directly to chapter 4. Along with the genealogies in the Bible, this chapter, this passage, is one of the most challenging passages for preachers. As you can see, I could barely read through this chapter, let alone to preach on it. After all, what's the point of learning about these ancient Hebrew names that we no longer use today? What's the benefit of looking into these obscure sites in Jerusalem that no longer exist in our days? But as I was about to give up on this passage, I remembered 2 Timothy 3:16. For all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. All scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is profitable for teaching, which certainly includes our passage today. So there must be a purpose in God's revealing to us this text, this difficult text indeed. And it's the duty of a preacher to dig out pure gold from this secret mine, to draw living water from this deep well. So what is the profit of preaching this passage? Let me point you to a unique fact about this passage. This is the only place in the whole Bible where God gives us a detailed list of people who are involved in a building project. As you may know, there are a few important projects in the Bible. The building of Noah's Ark, the construction of the tabernacle by Moses, and of course, the building of Solomon's temple, and then the restoration of the destroyed temple under Zerubbabel. But in none of these cases does the Bible give us the names of all the workers who are involved. Only in this passage, in Nehemiah chapter 3, we have a long list of specific names of those people who rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem. So we must ask, why does the Bible give such extraordinary, unprecedented attention to these otherwise obscure people who are involved in this building project, which seems to be less significant than the other projects in the history of redemption? This is the question we will be wrestling with this evening. But before we try to answer this question, let us take a close look at this project of rebuilding Jerusalem's wall. And I will show you six features of this building project. The first feature we need to recognize from this passage is that rebuilding Jerusalem is an extensive project. The extensiveness of this project can be simply felt by the length and tediousness of this chapter. This chapter includes 40 segments of the wall which require substantial repair. Not just a door that needs to be fixed, not just a gap that needs to be filled, not just a section that needs to be restored, but the whole city. The whole city of Jerusalem lies in ruins, and all its gates, towers, and walls need to be rebuilt. So this project starts with the Sheep Gate, which is the northeast part of Jerusalem, where the temple stands. Then it goes on in the counterclockwise direction to the Fish Gate, the Gate of Yeshna, and the Valley Gate on the west side of the city. Then to the Dung Gate and the Fountain Gate on the south side. Then to the Water Gate, the Horse Gate, and the Muster Gate on the east side. And finally, it comes all the way back to the Sheep Gate, where the work begins. In this way, it shows the scope of this project, which includes every part of the wall surrounding the city of Jerusalem. So truly, this is an intensive project. And in connection with this first feature, rebuilding Jerusalem is also an inclusive project. You would suppose that such an extensive project must involve a large number of people. And so indeed, there are 45 groups of people who are mentioned in this chapter. But what is really amazing is not the number of the workers, but their diversity. For among them, there are priests and Levites who minister in the temple. And there are also civil magistrates who rule by the king's authority. And there are goldsmiths, perfumers, and merchants who live affluent lives. And there's also a poor guy named Meshulam who lives in a tiny one-room chamber, as verse 30 tells us. And even more surprising is verse 12. Shallum, the son of Halohash, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, repelled. He and his daughters. So even women are involved in this building project, which supposedly is a man's job. And then in verse 11, we encounter the name of Malchijah, the son of Harim. This is the same name which occurs in Ezra chapter 10. And in that chapter, we are told that he was guilty of marrying a foreign woman. But he repented of his sin at that time. And now he also joins this holy project of rebuilding God, of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. So here is a picture of inclusiveness. We see people working together, participating in the same project, regardless of their vocations and social status, regardless of their genders and ages, regardless of their past and backgrounds. and brothers and sisters, I want you to know that each of you plays an important role in God's kingdom. Each of you makes a unique contribution to this congregation. For the Church of Christ is not run by elders, pastors, or deacons. For the ministry of the church is not done by those who are strong, smart, and gifted. But we need all of you to do your parts in this project. For this project is extensive. For the harvest is plentiful. And you are the laborers that the Lord has sent to this congregation to do the work that God has called, has given to this congregation. So let us join hands. Let us rise up. Let us work together. Let us build up this congregation. And now let us examine the third feature of this project. Rebuilding Jerusalem is an on-the-doorstep effort. This is the kind of work you can do right on your doorstep. Six times the phrase, opposite his own house, appears in this passage. For example, look at verse 10. Next to them, Jediah, the son of Harumaph, repelled opposite his house. So he doesn't need to go very far to work on this project. He repels the wall opposite his house. He does it in his own neighborhood. And while it's an on-the-doorstep effort for some people, rebuilding Jerusalem can also be an out-of-the-way effort for some others. For there are people who go out of their way to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And in this chapter, we see the men of Jericho, the Tekoites, the inhabitants of Zanoah, and the rulers of various districts outside Jerusalem. These people have to leave their hometowns and make a special effort to travel to Jerusalem to join this building project. And in verse 7, we even see the men of Gibeon and Mizpah, who are under the jurisdiction of the governor of the province beyond the river. And they also have come to Jerusalem, even at the risk of offending their own civil rulers. So we can see two types of workers involved in this project: those who work at their doorsteps and those who travel a long way to join this work. And both groups contribute an important part to the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And we see something similar in this congregation. For we have locals who have settled in this area for many years. Some of you were even born here. But we also have among us college students who have left their families and come to study at Geneva. And in fact, some of you just arrived a few days ago. And this passage shows that all of you, no matter where you come from, all of you have a work to do in this area for the Church of God, as long as you stay here, as long as you worship here. So I speak to those of you who are residents of this community. Don't settle for a life of ease, but rise up to do the good work that God calls you to do. Visit your neighbors, help with their needs, invite them to your house and to the church, or join a study group, meet with one another, learn the word of God together, encourage one another, stir up one another to love and good works. For if you do these things, you are not only serving the Lord, but you are also benefiting yourself. You are also prospering your own household. But I also want to speak to those of you who consider yourselves sojourners in this area. Then stay aloof, but commit yourself to a local church. Faithfully attend their worship services. Actively get involved with the life of the church and eagerly interact with the people you meet. For God is placing you here for a purpose, even though you may only be staying here for a temporary period. For God is placing you here at this time to strengthen his church, to advance his kingdom, and to bless his people. So don't waste the opportunities that God has given you to do his holy work. Now let's come to the fifth feature of this project: rebuilding Jerusalem as a consecrated work. Look at verse 1. Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. So this is a work started by the priests. This is a work started from the Temple Mount, and this is the work started with a consecration service. This is a consecrated work, for it's set apart for the service of God. It's set apart for the glory of the Lord. But rebuilding Jerusalem is more than a consecrated work. It's also a sanctifying work. And there's a little phrase in this chapter which appears throughout the entire chapter, repeated over and over again. Can you guess what that phrase is? This little phrase is next to him or after him. This is the phrase that connects each group of people who are involved in this project. So side by side, hand in hand, they work together to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And as I come across this little phrase, I can't help but think of what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So Paul is speaking of God's people being joined together, being built together into a dwelling place for God. And this vision is actually vividly represented in Nehemiah chapter 3, where God's people come together to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. They themselves are being built together into the heavenly Jerusalem, the true Jerusalem. As God's people lay the stones for the walls of Jerusalem, they themselves are being laid by the Holy Spirit as living stones next to each other, one after another, joined together, being built up into a spiritual house, into a holy temple in the Lord. So brothers and sisters, don't you know that you are God's workmanship? As you strengthen your hands for the good work of God, God is also working in you. God is working in you through the works you are doing. And God's hand is shaping you, is establishing you, transforming you, and sanctifying you in a mighty way. He is building you up into his holy temple. That's why serving God is not only a consecrated work, it's above all a sanctifying work. That's why the Bible gives us a full list of the names of those people who take part in this project. For they appear here, not only as the builders, but above all, they are God's building project. They are the gates, the towers, the walls of New Jerusalem, and they are the true focus of God's interest in this chapter. So in our passage today, we see a beautiful picture of brothers dwelling and working in unity. But there is a discord in this harmonious melody. There is a breach in this fortified wall. For in verse 5, we are told the Tekoites repelled, but their nobles will not stoop to serve the Lord. To put it literally, these nobles will not put their shoulders to the service of the Lord. These nobles refuse to bend their necks to take the yoke of the Lord. And their rejection, their rejection to participate in this project as recorded here, only to show that they have no portion or right or claim in the heavenly Jerusalem. Because they would not stoop down to serve the Lord, they are cast away by the Lord as worthless stones. So do you think you are above the work that God has called you to do? Are you refusing to stoop down to do some work that you think too easy, too light, unfitting for your honor? Then take heart. You may be cast away. You may be cut off from the people of God. If you think yourselves too important to do the work of the church. But let us behold Jesus, who was in the form of God, yet stooped down to take the form of a servant and died on the cross for our sins. He became the stone that the builders rejected. But this rejected stone has now become the cornerstone in whom we are being joined together, upon whom we are being built together into a holy temple. And so, brothers and sisters, since our Lord has stooped down to serve us, to build us up, let us also stoop down to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we thank you. We thank you for joining us together to do the work. We know that this work is so extensive. This work is so hard, so we cannot do this alone. So, Lord, Help us to encourage one another, to carry out this work together, side by side, hand in hand, for your glory. And Lord, please make us willing to bend our necks, to take the yoke of the Lord. For we know that the yoke of Jesus is easy and his burden is light. Oh, let us be eager to serve the Lord, be eager to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And Lord, as we are involved in these good works, please also sanctify us. Help us grow up. Build us up into your holy temple. Let us know that we are not only serving you, but you are also working in us. Oh Lord, show your glory in the works we are doing. Strengthen our hands for the works that you want us to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.